Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the preview show of week 15. And Aiden and I were just saying before we fired up the mics that seeing and hearing the words week 15 automatically made us sad because that means the NFL season is quickly coming to a close. There is no more meaningless college football on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights or Tuesday nights. Now we have to watch Chargers Raiders with, as we're recording this, the Raiders are up 21-0. Aiden, I know you're keened into that game, but we are we're a few days clear now of the Cowboys bludgeoning the Eagles on Sunday Night Football. We don't have to get into recapping the Cowboys 33-13 victory over the Eagles, where the Eagles scored no offensive touchdowns. We don't have to talk about that because we talked about that on a very long live show. If you hadn't listened to that, make sure you head over to anywhere you listen or watch us. You can watch it there. But Aiden, how are you? It's time to look at week 15. We don't have to look in the past, right? Last week's the past. Cowboys tied it up in the division. We can look to the future now. How are you?
Well, after that ringing introduction, I feel like I'm worse than I was 3 minutes ago. And I wasn't even good then because I got in the studio and it was named week 15 and I thought it was a typo. I couldn't believe that we were already here and I got sad. So I don't know if I'm doing good or not.
But you could be. I mean, you know, it makes it even better. You have another night game to look forward to this week.
God, Monday Night Football and we freaking against the Seahawks, which we'll get into, and the night terrors that they provide us. But yeah, just another primetime game. And, you know, the Eagles played with the energy on Sunday night as if they were like, yeah, another day, live to see another day. Like, who cares about this game? We'll be fine. That's exactly how they played. So yeah, here we are. Don't look in the past, look in the future. That's exactly the energy that they provided on Sunday night.
They had the energy of like Alabama week 7 playing like Pine Bluff, like playing at nobody. And like, you know, those type of games where like the Citadel rolls in and the Citadel has like a 13-0 lead heading into midway through the second quarter. And you're like, oh, could they do it? And then, you know, Alabama comes back and they ultimately win 47-13. But that just never happened. It stayed that level for the Eagles.
Yeah. SEC week 11 every year, they play a non-conference opponent. It's usually FCS, somebody you've never heard of. And then they get into rivalry week, the last week of the season. And they come out and every SEC team is down 7-0 because they're not trying. They've got a bowl game. They've got rivalry week, so they don't try. And they're like, well, we don't have to put an effort here because we have to put an effort down the road. The Eagles did that as well. They're like, well, we don't have to put an effort here because we're going to put an effort down the road and we'll be fine. And then they're kind of, to bring it with an analogy to real life, it's kind of like us at the end of the year in the workplace. Mm-hmm. Like nobody's like, oh, yeah, got to get it done right now. They're like, we'll figure it out after the holiday.
tomorrow is my last day for the entire year. So how about that?
I have no days off. Nothing.
See, my company does what it's called is shutdown. So starting the 20th through the 2nd, the company just closed.
When has this become a thing? Because this is a thing for my sister. This is a thing for some of the companies that we work with. They just flat out shut down. They're not even there. They're not there for
I've been with the company 10 years, and we've had shutdown the entire time I've been here. And then, so what you do is you just add days on the front end because, you know, I can only carry over so many days, so I needed to take more. So I think I have like 18 or 19 straight days off.
What?
Which
you're not off. You're helping. Yeah. You're gonna be running our socials.
It's harder to be off now with a child than it is to be working. So I would rather be working because now that means,
oh, you're off? That means my mom doesn't have to come to watch Emma, so you can have them all day.
Mm-hmm. Clocking into the second job, night shift.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a grind. And speaking of that SEC, I know we're getting off topic here. I feel like that week's going to have to go away. Like with the expansion of the SEC, Texas coming in, Oklahoma, like they just need to all play each other.
It's gone. I know it's already. I saw the schedules this week and it's gone. Great. I love that tradition. It was hilarious. Mm-hmm. They'd play the Citadel in week 11, randomly, the week before Thanksgiving, they're beating the shit out of New Mexico State.
For no reason.
The Georgia plays Sanford every year. They're like, ah, well, we already played LSU, Florida. Like, we got Alabama next week. We're going to play Sanford every year. and they're down 7-0 every year. And someone tweets out, stop account every single year. But I love the tradition, but yeah, it's over.
So. It's always good for those other schools because they get paid. So
I was going to say, they clock in, get $1 million and leave.
Yep. See you later. And sometimes they find a way to win, like Marshall last year against Notre Dame.
Those are the best. When the cupcake teams come in and they get paid to beat another team, hilarious to me.
Hilarious.
It's very good.
Speaking of teams getting beat by cupcakes, I'm just kidding. There is a lot that I've seen, Aiden, before we get into our games. I don't know what to think of this NFL season. Like, this week we had Ben DiNucci and Zach Wilson. I'm sorry, Ben DiNucci.
Whoa.
Tommy Cutlets.
Whoa.
Tommy Cutlets. Tommy
that
DeVito.
If he mixing up the Italians like that, that's offensive. Hold on.
I got my horns here. I got my horn in my hand. It's okay. Those two were the NFC and AFC offensive players of the week. Like, where are we at right now with the quarterback? Now, did you see Josh Dobbs is going to be the emergency quarterback for the Minnesota this week? He's not even going to be like active. The quarterback play has been so bad.
I was shocked that I know that game was like hilarious. It ended 3-0 last week for the Vikings. I didn't think he's been that bad for them. He came in and won two games for them before he knew the cadence or the playbook. So I didn't think he was that bad that Nick Mullins will be starting a game. But you're right. It's a weird year where injuries have kind of dictated it for a lot of teams. It's when you're healthy.
Yep.
But again, like as an Eagles perspective, everybody's down. Vibes are as low as they've been in over 2 years. The health that they've been able to sustain so far, like if you watch Jalen play quarterback, it makes you feel pretty appreciative. Like, you know, things aren't going as good as they could be, but it could be a whole lot worse.
Yeah. Cowboys Nation, we love to bash Jalen, and it's just, I think it's a fun back and forth, Dak and Jalen. And I think you and I agreed the other night that like he's not in contention for the MVP. However, I mean, he made two throws the other night that if they're caught, it's a completely different ballgame. One to AJ and one to Devontae in the end zone, right?
I didn't sit through J.J. Arcega-Whiteside and Jalen Reagor for A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith to be dropping touchdowns against the Cowboys. I'm just, oh, God. Yeah, I hope there's a refocus there because there was a true lack of focus from those guys. And, he made great throws. And there's certain things where it's like, yeah, we'll get into the Eagles game. But, it could be Mitchell Trubisky starting for you on a Saturday against the Colts, who are starting Gardner Minshew because their quarterback is hurt. God. Every week you look at a game and you're like, I didn't even know that guy was on that team.
The Raiders and the Chargers on Thursday night right now.
Did you know who Easton Stick was before last Sunday?
Sounds like a guy on Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that actually does sound like a Netflix. What's that other show? It's like All American.
Yeah.
Yeah. Easton Stick, like a fake Texas high school name.
He was actually the linebacker for, what was that fake high school? Sycamore.
Oh, Bishop Sycamore. Yeah. Blue Mountain State.
That was
Bad right, Castle.
Let's get into our games here. I'll start first with the Cowboys just because they're obviously playing on Sunday. And Aiden, I don't know where to go with this game. What to think about this game. Mm-hmm. I just keep checking the weather first because I think that's where I need to start. The last I checked just now, 50 degrees, which, okay, I'll take that in Buffalo, but like 70% chance of rain. There's this massive storm, I don't know if you've seen, coming up from Florida. It's in the Gulf of Mexico right now, and it's like engulfing Florida, and it's coming up our way, and it's going to be downpouring here like all of Sunday and Monday.
What? Mm-hmm. I didn't know about this. I don't also pay attention to the news, weather, or anything else, but so I'm shocked to hear this.
You just walk outside every day, and you're like, okay, here we are.
Pretty much. I am literally like a golden retriever. Like I walk outside and I'm like, well, this is what it is, one way or another.
Do you have the weather app on your phone, like on your homepage?
Yeah. Okay. I don't really use it that much. This time of year, it's tough because it's always like 27 degrees, and I'd rather just not see the fact that it's 27 degrees and it's sunsets.
Like I have mine like right up front.
Oh, I don't have that. Thanks for subscribing to our YouTube, everybody. I don't have that. But yeah, this should be a great game because I love the matchup.
So do I.
I think it's exciting from 30 other fan bases. I think this will be a very exciting game. And for you, I feel like a little nervous, right?
Yes, of course. And I think you're right. For these two fan bases, it's fun too, because you don't, you know, it's interesting that one of the guys who we've had on the show before, RJ Choppy on 105.3 The Fan this week, was saying like he's almost looking forward to this game more than he was the Eagles game last week. Not because, you know, the matchups, he's like, it's something different. It's not like, yes, I'm sick of playing the Giants twice a year and the Commanders, mm-hmm, and the Eagles. Like, we haven't played Buffalo in 4 years. We haven't been to Buffalo in 8 years.
Yeah.
So like
this, I went to Buffalo last time because I was, when the Eagles played, because it's like, it's different. I don't, yep, get to do this, and it's exciting. Yep. Even this year playing them at home, that was one of the most exciting games. It was Kelly Green. We're playing the Bills. You're right. Like, it's new. It's exciting. It's different. It's a good team. It's name value. It's just kind of, it's fun because of the uniqueness of it all.
And the rivalry dating back to the 90s where the Cowboys beat them two years in a row in the Super Bowl. Can you imagine losing the Super Bowl 3 years in a row?
Yes. As a Philadelphia fan, yes.
That would just, I can't even, well, I haven't been there since then, but.
I lost three championships in 1 year.
Yeah, you came close. You got 3 second places in 1 year.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
So I think the fan bases are adding to it, but it's the matchup on the field where it's like, first, you never know what you're going to get from Buffalo, right? They could look like the best team in the league. They could go to Arrowhead, beat the Chiefs. They could go to Philadelphia in the drubbing rain and look like they should win that game, but end up losing it. And then they can just look like the Chargers the next week. It's like
they do. They lose one possession games just like the Chargers do.
So they've lost two games in overtime this year.
Yep.
And I believe their other, they have what, six losses? Mm-hmm. Their other four losses are a combined 7 points, I believe.
They lost two games in overtime on a walk-off.
Yep.
And then they lost in the end of regulation against the Broncos on a walk-off field goal.
And that was because they had 12 men on the field. They missed the first field goal.
Correct. And if you want to dive even deeper, they lost to the Patriots and gave up a touchdown with less than a minute left in the fourth quarter. So four games, really, they've lost in walk-off fashion.
They could literally have the best record in the NFL.
They should have 10 wins. But that's why I think it's most dangerous to play them right now. Because if they make the playoffs, I think this is the scariest time to play them, because if they make the playoffs, you can overlook the loss to the Jets where they turn it over four times. You can overlook the loss to the Broncos when they missed the field goal, but they had 12 men on the field. They have to win this game, and it would be the most devastating loss of their season to be 7-6 and still have everything in front of you after all of that, and to be at home and take a commanding grip on the wild card. If you win this game, to lose it would be more detrimental than those losses.
I'm going
to the playoffs.
I haven't looked at the odds, but even like before this game, because, you know, there's a good chance that Buffalo does win this game. But like right now, buying in on a ticket for the Bills to win the Super Bowl might be the best value in the NFL right now.
Probably. But yeah, because they're not even, if the playoffs started today, they would not be in. How funny is that? If they get in, they might win the Super Bowl, or they might not get in at all. There's no in between.
It's unbelievable. I don't know if they'd win it because it's San Francisco, but though I think they, I mean, who in the AFC? I mean, the Chiefs, they're, you know, Travis Kelce's fighting with Stephen A. Smith about, you know, they're superstars. Really? They're not that good.
Their offense.
Jacksonville's Jacksonville. You know, CJ Stroud's hurt now.
MetLife should be banned from existence, by the way. Yes. We still play the world one more time, so I should just be like, get ready for the fact that someone in our starting lineup will not be ready for the playoffs because of the...
You know who will be ready? Dominicali. He's Italian.
Yeah. What's his name?
Dominicali. Tommy DeVito. Ben DiNucci. Hey. So that's my first concern. I don't know who's going to show up. I'm assuming it's going to be the good Bills because, one, they're back at home. Two, they're coming off a big win against the Chiefs. And three, they're playing a team on a 5-game winning streak. All the eyeballs are going to be on them. The Cowboys, it's America's team. Well, Dax on an MVP race. Like, they're going to want to show up in this game. And
they have to.
They have to. That's the other point. Like, they don't have a choice.
Yeah. Also, I think they figured it out since they fired the offensive coordinator situation.
Yep.
The utilization of James Cook to use him as a pass catcher, the simplification of their offense to just get the ball out of Josh Allen's hands. And I thought that's what the Cowboys did very well against the Eagles, is kind of utilize everybody, space it out, get the ball out quick. The Bills have been doing that as well. They had 500 yards of offense against the against the Eagles. He's been using his legs to make plays. It's been some of the best ball that Josh Allen has played in his entire career this past month. And you may not realize it because, you know, like, they've lost a few of these games, but he's played really, really well. So you're like, all right, we're getting our best offensive test of probably the season, right?
Yep.
I know 49ers, yes, but even in that game, it's like, okay, they've got the ball at the 7 because Fred Warner decided he could cover the tight end, also force a fumble on the running back. You know, like, their defense kind of just ballooned that game out of control. This is probably the best offensive test.
And I think that game plan that they've been going with, getting the ball out fast, using the running backs, that is going to be advantageous for them, and they're going to want to continue that, because with Josh Allen's quote-unquote turnover issues, throwing you don't want to do that. You don't want to be forcing the ball against a defense, and the Cowboys are very opportunistic with turnovers, right? That's what they do. They get turnovers. So why not hit them where they're almost weakest, and that's the run game. That's the quick screen game, especially now that Jonathan Hankins is going to be out. I know he hasn't been ruled fully out yet, but he has a high ankle sprain. He's not playing in this game. So now the Cowboys are going to be leaning more on first-round pick Mozzie Smith, who still doesn't get off the ball fast. And what happens when you don't get off the ball fast? You get blocked. And then they're going to be probably bringing up Carl Davis, who's a vet. He's been on their practice squad. He's a 360-pound dude, but he's not the athlete that Jonathan Hankins is. And I think Hankins has actually been one of the unsung heroes of the Cowboys this year, just quietly having an outstanding season. So losing him heading into this game where, like you said, Cook is really hitting his stride, not good.
It feels like the first time they've had a weapon who can stand next to Josh Allen, and you're like, oh, this person could actually do something worthwhile.
Yeah.
You know, it's either like Josh Allen.
Hines.
Yeah, Nyheim Hines, and then didn't they trade him? Or no, they had somebody. Latavius Murray ends up on that team like once a month.
Yep, he's there.
Like, they always have some like middling NFL running back. This is the first time I've had like a legitimate running back. It's like, oh, wow. What if we didn't give Josh 99% of the workload and only gave him 85% and saw what happened?
Right? As they're showing Justin Herbert on the screen right now, he like just broke like his finger. He has the biggest cast on his hand and over his arm I've ever seen in my life. Dude, you just hurt a finger.
I thought you would just get a regular cast. I don't know.
Awesome. So I am fearful of this. I am fearful. I think Josh Allen is going to tear them up. I do. I think they've been on a tear. They're a different team on the road. We know that. Undefeated at home, 3-3 on the road. This is just a different atmosphere in Orchard Park. If the weather is bad, that is only going to try to have the Bills run the ball and get the quick screen game out even a little quicker. I'm most upset that we're not getting Diggs versus Diggs in this game. I mean, I was looking forward to that all offseason.
Also, have you seen like the production from Stephon Diggs lately?
Down.
Down is an understatement. It is like rock bottom, SpongeBob can't catch the bus bad.
I think he's just trying to get out of there.
I do too. But another podcast brought this up. You know, he's like top 5 in the league in targets, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with his role. He had 11 targets last week. There's nothing that's bad. He's on a good team that goes to the playoffs every year. And he, at one point this year, was leading the league in targets. He's top 5 right now and had 11 targets last week. Where are you going that you're getting better than that?
Maybe the reporter was right.
What did the reporter say?
No, remember that reporter that got caught on the hot mic earlier this year saying he's just like a bad person and only cares about himself?
Yeah. I forgot about that. That's hilarious. Yeah, the reporter.
Maybe she was right.
Never wrong, just early.
Yep. Mm-hmm. But you know that, and that only tells me what she's going to go off for, like 12 catches, 132 yards, and two touchdowns in this game.
God, I hope not.
Liz, because also on the line. It's the whole this. Then this is what I'm fearful of right now too. Is Stephon Gilmore's coming off his best game of the season, right? He was on, you know, him and AJ Brown jarring. He made the huge tackle against Devontae Smith. He now has the flu that is going through the Dallas Cowboys that Micah had last week. And he's coming back to the place where he was a first round draft pick, played 5 years. It's a whole thing. Now he gets to go against Diggs. I don't know. That whole, it's like an arc in a movie. Like he hit his peak and now it's just something bad's going to happen. It's like any Hallmark Christmas movie where like she comes, she has her job, but you know, the job's not good. So she goes home for Christmas and she meets the guy who sells Christmas trees and she's going to leave her boyfriend who makes millions for a guy that makes $27 a week for Christmas trees. But then somehow she read a text message about him and it crashes and he's the worst person in the world. But then it comes up and they end up getting married or something. But I think we're like here where she loves the Christmas tree guy and it's about to cliff dive.
Are you telling me that Stephon Gilmore is going to make out with Stephon Diggs?
Yes. Okay. At a Christmas tree farm.
That's what I got.
While drinking hot cocoa.
Well, they're going to have hot cocoa. It was some.
It's going to be the complete opposite of Stephon Gilmore and AJ Brown.
AJ Brown was the city boyfriend who has no time for her. Exactly. She goes home to date the Christmas tree farmer. Yep. They're going to
Buffalo.
Out
yeah.
Right in the field.
There you go. She was in her metropolis Manhattan. Workplace in Dallas, DFW. She's going home to Buffalo for Christmas.
It's perfect. It's windy. It's cold.
Yep. Mm-hmm. There's
Josh Allen to do somewhere.
Yep. So back to the game. I'm terrified.
We didn't get away from the game. I want that on record.
Yeah, we stayed with the game. So I think their offense is going to get theirs. Their offensive line does not give up a lot of pressures. I think they have a couple injuries, but
Deion Dawkins went to Temple.
Yes.
Powerhouse football program. So
you know who they drafted too, who we both liked, and you drafted a couple times in your mock draft on the offensive line, who is a starter for them.
I don't remember.
Played at Florida.
Oh, Osiris Torrance. I saw that when we played them. Yeah, I liked him a lot. And of course,
big man.
If they just listened, I can't wait to do draft stuff again. I would see like Kyle Hamilton is like the number one rated safety in the league. I was like, if you just listen to me, our team would be really good.
It's not
just
that
listen
hard.
To us.
It's not that hard.
No.
I the Cowboys are not going to hold the Bills to no touchdowns this week like they did to the Eagles last week. So
that depends on a little how much their offensive coordinator likes slant routes
and motion.
Motion.
On the offensive side of the ball, I mean, we need Dak to continue to do what he's doing. We know he hasn't had the best career in cold weather, but again, it may be 50 degrees. So I wouldn't consider that cold, but we'll see what the elements are. Windy. They're going to have to run the ball a little bit more. We saw that they did last week. I don't know if you noticed it in this game. It felt like Rico Dowdle was getting more touches than Pollard was.
It felt like an onslaught, to be honest with you. It didn't feel like that to me because I was playing against Tony Pollard in the fantasy playoffs. So I was just like, please God, just anybody else.
Where's Deuce Vaughn?
Oh, I was losing twice. Yeah, put in anybody. Put in Deuce Vaughn. I like the combination, though. I like the utilization of speed that the Cowboys are using. Yep. I think that would be a good idea against the Bills as well.
And speaking of utilization of speed, that also is a fear of mine because you and I said it together last week. They look different at home.
Yep.
Right? They're faster at home on that turf. Now they go to Buffalo on the grass.
It's like... Yeah, Oregon plays at Altman and they score 54 a week and they look like a track team. And then they go back in the day, they'd play Stanford on grass and they'd score 20 and just get their ass kicked to the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
It's different. I don't think that that will happen necessarily, but it is different elements, and it's about as different elements as you can get from the friendly confines of a palace in AT&T Stadium to go play at Orchard Park, Buffalo. It's not even in Buffalo. You're just in the middle of the upstate New York.
Yep. Speaking of AT&T Stadium, where we will be next year for Cowboys Eagles with Mike Tagg, book it. As soon as the schedule come out, we will start the planning.
I hope he understands my humor when he checked in on us. I was like, I'm going to drive my car off a bridge, Mike.
He's probably like, I love how he spells your name, too.
How does he spell it? I didn't even know.
A-I-D-E-N.
Classic.
I've never corrected him because I love it.
I was going to say, he has a free pass. He can call me whatever he wants.
Absolutely. So the offense, to win this game, they're going to have to score points. That's my viewpoint on this. I think they can against this Buffalo defense. The Buffalo defense has been susceptible to giving up points, giving up drives. My biggest thing that I have my eyes on right now is Micah Hyde. He's been a no participant in practice two straight days. And you know, usually if you don't practice on Thursday, do you play on Sunday? So he has a stinger that he's dealing with. That would be a big loss, I feel like, to Buffalo if Micah Hyde wasn't there. Does that mean DeMar Hamlin steps in? Maybe then it's the DeMar Hamlin game, and then we're in big trouble. So
they already did that. He already played.
True. I think he's only played 14 snaps on defense this entire season. He's been inactive a lot.
He played against the Broncos and played.
Yeah.
And they brought him in. But aside from that, he hasn't played that much. Because Micah Hyde, like you said, is the start.
Yep.
Even last year, DeMar was in because somebody was hurt.
I don't know. Have you seen the tweet about Jake Ferguson and how he's been preparing for this game?
I saw a picture. He was like running through photos of the defenders. Yeah. Is that everybody or just him?
I don't know. I only saw it from him, which is hilarious. That would be funny if it is just him. But he's also been just dipping. First, he dips his hands in just ice water for like a minute and then picks up the ball and does it.
When you said dipping, that is not where I thought you were going to go.
Okay, Nick.
We were talking about something else.
Osama Zin Laden.
Yeah, I was going to say, Jake Ferguson, that's why he can hurdle like that. He popped a Zin in and he was good to go.
Good to go. But I think, speaking of Jake, he's going to have to be a big factor in this game. He just seems like, you know, that dude played at Wisconsin. Like, this is going to be his type of game, right? Over the middle, tough SOB, catch the ball, make a couple big. I mean, that long catch and run that he had iced the game. I tweeted it out. He also, I don't know if you noticed the one play that he had, I think he had a 37 yard and a 32 yard. I think it was his first long catch where Dak kind of saw the coverage and Nolan Smith was lined up on him and dropped in coverage on him. And Dak's like, yeah, that's a matchup. Those are the type of things that if you see a mismatch on Jake Ferguson, you have to take advantage in this game. And I mean, it's all the others that I don't, do I even need, like, yeah, CeeDee Lamb needs to show up. Yeah. Brandon Cooks needs to show up. Like, the offense just needs to continue with what they're doing. This is where it really begins, right? Last week was against the Eagles, but like the next three games, you're basically in the playoffs. They have a chance to make the playoffs this week, but at Buffalo, at Miami, home against Detroit. This is, you go 2-1 here, I'll be thrilled. You go 3-0 here, I will dance a jig. I think this is the game. This is the hardest of the three, I believe.
I would wholeheartedly agree. I think Jake Ferguson actually would be a phenomenal tight end for Buffalo. It feels like he fits there, hilariously. I think it comes down to which quarterback can manage the game better. Like, who can manage this football? Who can manage this football game from start to finish, not make turnovers, be really efficient with the ball, drive their team down the field, hand the ball off? Who can manage it the best between those two quarterbacks? Who can manage the game?
Cooper Rush. That's who can. That's what a game manager looks like. Cam.
There are people listening right now who are like, say manage one more time. I don't get it.
Are you the assistant regional manager or the assistant to the regional manager?
Assistant to the regional manager. Assistant to the regional game manager.
So I don't know. The more I talk through it, the more I think about it. I mean, I am leaning towards Cowboys' loss in this game. I really am. They're on such a high right now. 5 straight wins. You just bludgeoned your biggest rival. I guess, you know, people say it's the Niners, but the Eagles are a rival. The 49ers are just a team you can't beat. That's what it is.
And that fires me up again. Like, we're not rivals. You guys, your screen time must have been 21 hours after that game with the amount of tweets. We're not rivals. Well, it looked like you were rivals after you won the game.
Oh, I fully agree. I mean, we are
not you.
It's the same way the other way. So it's yes, we are. That's why there. If you look at Cowboys and Eagles Twitter, I don't care who each team's playing with that week, playing against that week. There's somehow both fan bases are talking about the other one.
Yeah, I do. Well, I will be tuned in. I think this will be a phenomenal football game. So I'll be tuned in for sure. And I do agree with you. I think if looking at the rest of the schedule, this would be the one that puts a damper on everything. And maybe not even because I just think that Buffalo is a good team.
Yep.
And the universe will sort itself out and they'll be a playoff team in the end.
And they are desperate.
And they're right desperate. Now. They played desperate against the Eagles. That's what was so impressive, the Eagles game. Like, that was a desperate Bills team. And they took their best shot.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yeah, and I think you'll get a similar energy on Sunday.
And I mean, before the season, you go through the schedule, I chalk this up as a loss. I hope I'm wrong then. I hope I'm wrong now. I hope that, you know, this would be, I think, a signature win in Dak's career also, going to Buffalo. Like, he's had a couple. Going to Green Bay, he won. Going to Pittsburgh, he won. This would be another one of those type wins because there's so many times – over the last 15 years, like, the Cowboys just don't win these games. Like, going to Buffalo against Josh Allen, going to Green Bay against Aaron Rodgers, like, they normally just, these are not games they normally win. And people are talking about how, you know, it's the same old Cowboys, but something feels different about this season. Don't say anything feels different until you go up and win this game. Go and win this game, and then maybe we can have a conversation about things might be different this year. That's my.
I think that's a good litmus point. I really do. A road win, desperate team, good team, shootout with a really good quarterback.
So that is my TED Talk. Thank you for joining. Go Cowboys.
Thank you. All right. You want to talk about other games that have been a loss since May on the schedule that you're a little worried about? Because there's another one on this podcast. Who could it be?
I saw those guys already. I can tell you a little bit of something about them.
Yeah, they're idiots who use DJ Dallas coming across the formation with Micah Parsons lined up unblocked.
Thank you.
They easily could have won that game. And fourth and one, they had a third and one, didn't get it. Fourth and one, didn't get it. Gave up the ball, got a score, got the ball back, drove again, had a fourth and four, didn't get that. Like, they were on the opposing side of the field the entire game and still lost. I don't know how they did it.
How many teams have gone in shotgun on fourth and one against the Cowboys this year?
I can't get why. If there is a team doing something at a 93% success rate, why are you not copying it or trying to?
Trying,
but they don't try. They're in shotgun.
Literally. Against the Cowboys pass rush. What are we doing?
Yeah.
Thank you, though.
Unreal. But yeah, Eagles-Seahawks, Monday Night Football, flex to Monday night, prime time again for the Eagles.
First ever Monday Night flex, correct? Ever?
Correct, yeah, new this year. Happy to be a part of history. Not really, but we're here. Seattle, go back to the scheduled preview show I did in May. This has been a loss, and I have been worried about this game for about 8 months. They have lost 7 straight games against Seattle. They've lost 9 of their last 10. The last time they beat Seattle in Seattle was November 2008. I was 13 at the time, I'm going to turn 29 tomorrow. That is how.
Your birthday's tomorrow?
My birthday's tomorrow, yeah.
Oh, happy birthday. I didn't know that.
It is today when you hear the episode. But yeah, it is tomorrow.
Awesome.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you. Nice. All I would like for my birthday is one little victory against Seattle.
And your two front teeth.
And my two front teeth. So yeah, it's been a while. I'm worried.
I'm worried. What's the status of Geno? That's where we got to start.
He's going to play.
Okay.
I'd feel a lot different with Drew Lock.
Yes.
Then I'd be awesome.
I agree. Because the last time we saw Geno Smith on a field, he put up 35 points against the Cowboys in Dallas and was slinging it.
And the last time I saw DK Metcalf against the Eagles defense, he absolutely tore them apart. So speaking of injuries, and you mentioned Micah Hyde, not practice today. Usually if you don't practice Thursday, that means you're trending towards not playing. Darius Slay on the injury report again, second straight day with a knee, second straight week on the injury report as well with that knee. He took on the liberty of covering. Sorry. Slay.
Thank you.
Somebody commented that it's something with his dad. If you have like a shitty home situation and you don't want to use your dad's name, I will get a pass. But we got to background check that before we
agree. He said only his grandfather's allowed to call him Darius.
If it's just his grandfather and not his dad, then maybe that
we might have a problem.
Yeah. So, well, in that case, then fine. But it's so much easier to say Darius Slay.
Slay is hurt.
So Slay is hurt. Slay knee. The Slay. So that'll be bad if he can't play, because DK Metcalf, if you remember the last time these two teams played, they pretty much just had Darius Slay cover DK Metcalf on an island. And this was a much different defense, but not really. This defense has been horrible lately.
Yep.
So DK had 9 receptions, over 100 yards receiving, and they had no safety help. Their plan was just like Slay, island, DK. If he gets 100 yards, he gets 100 yards and we'll take our chances. That's what they did. It didn't really work.
Mm-hmm.
The offense, it kind of worked because the Seahawks didn't really move the ball. They won like 17-9,
yep,
and our offense was terrible that year. But it just kind of just sticks with me that they're not afraid to force feed DK if that's the plan.
Well, and they don't really even have to, because they have DK. I think Tyler Lockett is the most underrated wide receiver in the NFL. And then, they have this guy named Jackson Smith and Jigba, who you and I both fell in love with during the draft process as well. And they are going to have Kenneth Walker back too.
So not good. not the best. They need to get back to stopping the run on first down. And the Seahawks don't run like a very extreme scheme. It's a very traditional scheme, and they're going to try to run on first and second downs. And the term game manager keeps getting thrown around with Dak and because of what Cam Newton said. I think that's the most overused term, and there's nothing wrong with being called a game manager. But in the sense that people are throwing it around, Geno would actually be like a game manager because they want to run it on first and second and kind of set him up on a third and four and don't turn the ball over and just convert. So I think that's what they want to do, and the Eagles got to get back to being able to stop the run, because I think that the plays are racking up on them. They can't get off the field, and then teams are able to run the ball on them.
Speaking of stopping on first down, I know I'm keep going back, but did you see the Osa Odigizua reference in the game on Sunday night against Dallas on the sideline where he was talking about that?
No.
He said, we got to stop him on first down. You stop him on first down, they can't push that tush. You can only push the tush so far.
That's true. I'm not opposed if we just did a tush push for an entire drive, just as like a social
experiment. 7 weeks. Would love
it's like the Office episode where he's like, Jim was involved. He's like, I didn't say it was a good idea. I said it was a fun idea. That's kind of how I feel if we just tush push the entire way on the field.
But you're right. I mean, if you do not want Geno Smith and those wide receivers consistently in third and four, third and three, second and two. You know what I mean? You want them in third and seven, third and 12, third and nine. That's where you can bring the pass rushers, hopefully fluster Geno. And, you know, he has been known to turn it over a time or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then they drafted Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the sole purpose of like third and four.
Yep.
Beat him with speed, get open.
Yep.
So don't be in that situation. Get some pressure. And Josh Sweat talked about it. This is a big pride week for this team because there's been a lot of guys in the locker room who have taken accountability, which I like, and then like, and Josh Sweat sticks out the most to me because he's like, I'm tired of almost. We almost got to the quarterback. We almost had a sack. It's not good enough. We need to get there. We need to get home. No more almost. I love hearing that. This would be the week. Prove it to me. Get there. Force some pressure on Geno. Force some errant throws. Help out a secondary that probably won't have Reed Blankenship and maybe not Darius Slay. Do some damage up front.
I will say to you also in terms of Pride Week for the Eagles, I'm just going to look this up. Don't take this the wrong way, and I don't think you will, but like they look tired.
They do.
Like the defense. And if you do think about this quote-unquote gauntlet, and I think they got out of it pretty well in terms of record-wise, but like home against Dallas, but then you're at the Chiefs, Bills at home, which was an overtime game where the defense was on the field all game.
They played
49ers game where the defense was on the field all game getting beat up. At Dallas, where the defense was on the field a lot, getting beat up. Now, granted, I know you have an extra day now, but after like all those games, to then send you guys to Seattle the next week, like why not play the Giants at home this week and then go to Seattle next week?
I wish, man. I've been saying this since May. It's a bad point on the schedule.
And I feel like it's not what everybody's been talking about, right? It's like that gauntlet, the Chiefs and the Niners and the Cowboys and the Bills. I feel like the Seattle game was kind of just forgotten about a little bit.
That was my problem with it, is everyone thinks this is the end of the gauntlet. This isn't gauntlet in terms of just talent alone. It's gauntlet in terms of where you're at in the schedule. You go through all those tough teams. The defensive snaps rack up. You fly across the country to play a place that you've struggled historically. You got the extra day now, but at the time you didn't.
Yep.
And it sets you up for failure. And it's coming off a game against your biggest rival. Now, they didn't exactly play like it was their biggest rival with that energy. So, again, it's concerning to me where it's at in the schedule, and that's why I've always included it as part of that gauntlet.
And what did we just talk about Dallas? We're playing against a desperate Bills team. You're playing against a desperate Seattle team who still has a shot at the playoffs. If you watch any of those, they're in the hunt.
Yeah. Their schedule, they're also in a gauntlet too. They went 49ers twice.
Yep.
They played the Eagles, the Cowboys. They got the three top teams and they got them four times in a row. Yep. I think they still got the Rams at the end.
Yep.
God bless. Their schedule is pretty brutal. They are desperate, but we should have probably had like a Seattle person on I don't know any of those people.
Sure we could find one.
I'm sure we could have found
one. Even though shout out Twitter X now, you can't DM people unless you have the stupid blue check mark.
We might. We might be getting there.
Okay.
We'll talk about it.
That's just insane, by the way. It's so stupid.
Giving my money. Never mind. I'm not going to say it. Never mind. Back to Seattle. I would love to know what the vibes are like, because I think with Buffalo, yeah, they've had some like rough moments, frustrating moments for the fan base. Overall, I think they're like, yeah, like this is a good team. We can still make the playoffs. The vibes in Seattle, I feel like, seem to be different, where there's been a lot of talk about Geno as the quarterback. Like, you've lost a lot of games in a row. It feels like the Rams have kind of passed you by. They've had injuries, like you talked about, Kenneth Walker, Geno Smith himself. Devin Witherspoon left the game last week. He's probably Jalen Carter's top competition for Defensive Rookie of the Year. So I don't know if he's going to play. It just feels like the vibes are a little bit different with them. And I would love to know, are you desperate, or are you like, we're crawling to the finish line, someone put a shotgun in the back of our head?
Yeah. I mean, the last time I saw them, it looked like they, I think you, I don't know, maybe if they win that Cowboys game, they were, I mean, they were competitive last week for almost three quarters against the Niners, I would say.
That, but this is very true. And they were competitive for four quarters against the Cowboys. And yep. It's like, all right, you're throwing haymakers. At what point do you get tired? It's like the McGregor-Mayweather fight where he didn't know how to box. He was the lesser of the talented guys. So he was just out there throwing haymakers for six rounds. Round seven comes and he's exhausted. Done.
Yep. And we just talked about the Eagles being tired. I mean, I think this is an equally tired Seattle team. Has to be. Yeah. After the last 2 weeks that they've had.
So I would like to see a motivated Eagles team who closes the door on a team. You're like, nope, not your year. Sorry, where it's our time. It's our window still.
And I think you're right. I mean, I thought the pride game was coming last week against Dallas after what happened to the 49ers. You see A.J. Brown talking. You'll see it. I'm not going to talk about it. Brandon Graham's talking about it. It has to be. There's so many veterans on that Eagles team. Jason Kelsey, Fletcher Cox, you need to win this game.
Yeah.
It's like, it is a no doubt about it. If you are a Philadelphia, you go to Seattle, and I know this is a cliche, it's a business trip. You go out there, button it up. I don't care how you win, just win the goddamn game and come home and play the Giants.
Agreed. 100% agreed. The Giants, you can that'll be the Week 11 SEC game. If we win this game against the Seahawks, be like, we're down 14-0 on the Giants in the first quarter, man. Yeah. Like, what are we doing fooling around like this? You can see that coming.
The agent and Tommy DeVito's dad kissing on the sideline.
It's a great story for the league.
It is 35-0 Raiders before halftime.
Really?
Yeah.
You got to trust the quarterback named Aiden. I always say it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually wild. The speaking of teams that are ready to, you know, be in the coffin, the Brandon Staley Chargers. Goodbye. See ya.
I've heard reports that he's coming back because the Spanos family is so cheap. They do not want to pay a coach to do nothing. And he has another year on his deal, and they don't want to just pay him to be gone.
I will personally pay for him to be gone. Every dollar that I have.
I don't think you have that many dollars.
I'll sell a Mercedes. I just won't tell him about the headlights.
But yeah, that would be insane if they did keep brought him back. But yeah.
I don't know how you
can run it back.
I don't know. Well, it'd be easy to be cheap if you brought him back because no free agents are going to sign them. So. You're not spending any money. Justin Herbert would be like, maybe not. I'm going to leave.
Mm-hmm. See you later.
See ya. Speaking of quarterbacks, Jalen Hurts hasn't played well. Feels like everything's forced. Feels like everything's rigid. Mm-hmm. Dan Orlovsky did a really good breakdown of their first down passing game and how they just like got away from simplifying things. Last year, I thought they were so good where they ran the ball really effectively, but if you watch those games, they threw all the time on first down and loved doing it.
Yep.
And it was almost like an extension of the run game on first down. They'd be in second and five. And then when you're in second and five, what happens? The defense is like, well, they could run it here. Hurts could keep it. This is the time they take a shot to AJ. We're on our heels.
Yep.
Instead, this year, they've been in constant second and 10 after a throwaway, third and 10. And it's like, all right, well, hopefully Devontae or AJ come down with it. If not, we're punting. And
or some of third and 16, Jaylen. Third and 20. Like, how many times did we see that last week against Dallas? Yep.
Yeah, they throw on first down, throw it away. Second down, they try to run. Nothing
hold.
There. Yeah, hold. Yeah, you're in first and 20, first and 15, throw it away. Now it's second and 15. You can't get in a rhythm and a flow of your offense. So this week, to me, is the week to simplify your process. We just talked about it with the Bills. They fired their offensive coordinator and simplified the process.
Yep.
They were getting the ball out of Josh Allen's hands, utilizing the running backs like James Cook. The Eagles are almost dead last in utilization of the running backs in the passing game. That's Kenny Gainwell's entire job.
Yep.
And they used DeAndre Swift all offseason as a wide receiver in training camp. Now you don't use them, and you're facing a Seahawks team since week 9 who's given up the most receiving yards to running backs. Simplify your process this week on early downs. Get the ball out of Jalen's hands, to the running backs, to the tight ends, and even to the receivers. It doesn't have to be the deep shot. Yep. Get something over the middle of the A.J. Brown. Run some screens. That's another thing. They did so well against the Kansas City game with the screen game when the Chiefs were bringing pressure that they've never gone back to it. Simplify your process.
You know what else is simple thinking and is just outright jumping out to you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know?
With the Eagles?
Mm-hmm. What needs in this game?
Well, Jalen looks slow.
I'm saying, what is something that has to happen in this game?
The fuck you drive.
That, yes. Rashad Penny needs to be active and playing.
Yeah, but what if they're just saving him for the last month?
This is the Rashad Penny fuck you Seattle game.
Why not? Honestly, try something new. That's what I want to see.
His former team, yes.
I was watching highlights from the last time they won 16 years ago when I was 13, and they ran a trick play in the end zone and threw it to Todd Harriman's for a touchdown. I want to see some razzmatazz this week. Show me some spice.
Rashad Penny running for a buck 47 and 2 touchdowns against his old team in Seattle.
Why not? He's going to be running and then put him back on the shelf like the penguin with the throat issue in Toy Story.
Yeah.
Wheezy.
Corduroy.
Rashad Penny is just Wheezy from Toy Story. He's on the shelf and then he helps out Woody once and then he goes back on the shelf.
It's perfect against his former team. This is the revenge game.
That's all we need, honestly. Yeah, utilize.
Sirianni, but the night before, he loves showing highlights. Just show all of Rashad Penny's highlights from when he played in Seattle.
I agree with that. And another thing, I actually thought about this before. Show highlights of your offense last year and just be like, guys, we're making things way too hard. Simplify it. Just go play football. It just looks like they're forcing everything they do, and they're so tense. It leads to fumbles. It leads to drops, all this stuff. If you just show them, how their offense ran and just be like, guys, just relax. Take a deep breath. You know, just remember what got you here. They're kind of like, remember
Shane Steichen?
Shane Steichen being gone would not help. They're like, did you watch Walking Dead?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Remember how it was so good in the early going? And they're like, oh, it's because they're fighting zombies. There's drama. And they're like, what if we just completely diverted from that and had the humans fight other humans?
Yeah.
And it didn't work. It was like, we got away from the one thing that worked. And it's like, it didn't stop working. Let's just go back to it. The humans should be fighting zombies. The Eagles should be passing on first down, but using it as an extension of the run game for 5 yards. Not trying deep shots to AJ Brown every play.
I got into that show late, so I binged it. And I could not stop. It was so good in the beginning. I was like, I need to keep watching. And then Lisa got into it and we were binging it together. And then we got to live when it started to suck. And then you'd have to wait a week in between. I was like, and then you'd sit there and I'd be like, nothing happened.
Yes. Agree. That was the waiting all around for Sunday night. It was not Sunday Night Football. It was Walking Dead. And then eventually you're like, it's been 7 episodes since something happened. Did I miss something?
I started timing it. I'm like, it's an hour. There was 43 minutes of commercials.
That was another thing. It was like Walking Dead, but 18 commercial breaks, and then Talking Dead with 12 commercial breaks. And there was they had some of the best cliffhangers of all time, and they totally got away from that. What if we just had them fight other human beings like every other show?
God.
But the Eagles are fighting other human beings right now. Just go back to fighting the zombies. I want to see, I want one slant. I know this is such a dumb football brain thing to say to AJ Brown. Just one slant. Just across the middle, one time. He leads the league in yards after the catch. Just get him in open space. It's the whole point of your job.
Let's go back 2 weeks ago. What happened in the first quarter and almost the first three plays against the Niners? Slants to AJ Brown. They were just going right down the field. I was like, oh God, here we go.
Yeah, and then they get away from it. They moved the ball against the Cowboys. Did you see that stat that I posted? They made it past midfield against the Cowboys every single drive.
Oh, yeah.
And scored 6 points.
Yep.
That's so hard to do.
Yep. I feel like that's something that feels like a Ravens stat.
Oh. Yeah, they're on prime time this week, and I'm a little nervous because they've been playing well, and I'm locked in. Like, they're my team who's not my team this year. This feels like, I hope this is not the moment they screw up and let me down one more time.
One more time.
They're like, oh, it's okay. They won't hurt me this time. It's going to be different. It's usually not.
Pull me back in.
Pull me back in. Well, I hope not, though. Should be a good Sunday night game.
So I think we're both up against it this week.
Yep. When the schedules came out, we were saying losses.
Yep.
So hopefully that means makes it wins.
I mean, I hope you lose and we win, so then we're a game up, but
I hope you lose and we win. That is Birds vs. Boys.
Power rankings.
Let's do it. At 32, some weeks I have the Ravens, and some weeks I have them at one.
All right, so if it is your first time here, we always do power rankings. Check out our TikTok. That's where our power rankings usually get the most love, or I should say hate, comments. So we go down from 5 to 1 of the current NFL in our power rankings. Aiden?
One thing on TikTok right now. I think I could say curing cancer would be a good thing and people would still push back. Right. I can't say anything these days that's right. I am in a
100%
rut, I guess.
Oh, you cured everyone's cancer? How come you didn't give that homeless man a sandwich?
Yeah, now it's going to be overpopulation.
Yep.
Ever think of that? Dumbass Eagles fan. Of course the dumbass Eagles fan wants to cure cancer. Every comment is, of course, the dumbass Eagles fan thinks that.
Liberal.
Yeah. I like talking about the Chiefs.
Yeah. Oh, God. Chiefs and Niners fans. And you know what's funny is, too, is like how many times I post something about the Eagles and they're like, dumbass Eagles people. I'm like, uh-huh.
Yep.
That was me. Hey.
That's me.
Oh, God, idiots.
Well.
All right.
All right.
Let's do this.
Power rankings, 5 to 1. I'll start at 5. I have the Eagles. Please stop embarrassing me on national television. That's my only ask. Please. At 5, I have the Eagles.
5 for me, I have no one because no one deserves to be there.
At 4, I put the Dolphins with an asterisk because I don't know if you saw the end of that game. I was going to put Will Levis at 4 because that was magical.
Aiden, I went to sleep and I woke up and I saw the Titans.
It was pretty wild. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, God. 4 for me, I have also no one because no one deserves it.
Okay. At 3, I have the Cowboys. Like you said, probably the biggest litmus test of the season. But playing their best football this season as well. Offense is scored. Defense is forcing turnovers. That's the equation for them. So we'll see if they can keep it up. Big test on the road at Buffalo.
3 for me. This is where I would put the Dallas Cowboys if I would put the Cowboys in my power rankings. But I don't put the Cowboys ever in my power rankings because when I do put the Cowboys in my power rankings, they lose. So the Cowboys would be here, but I don't put the Cowboys in power rankings.
So Cowboys.
With an asterisk.
At 2, I'm going to do it. I have the Ravens. Please don't do this to me. I love you so much, and you always hurt me. Don't do this week. Win in primetime against the Jaguars so I can keep you at 2. Ravens.
2 for me. I also have the Ravens. For so many reasons, I love this team as well. I think you and I love the way they draft. It's just keep it simple, stupid, take good players, the way the organization is run. Any player you ever hear that or coach that has worked there, they just love everything about the Ravens organization. Just go do what you need to do on the field.
Yep. Yeah. But don't blow it in the fourth quarter. Please. That's all I'm saying.
Just win.
At 1, I have begrudgingly the 49ers. I don't think there's anybody else that you could put right there. They have been on a roll. Offense is cooking when they're healthy. Defense has been making plays. I have nothing but good things to say about the fan base, some of the nicest people in the world. They absolutely deserve to have this good football team. And Brock Purdy, who knows, could be MVP. Love him to death. The best.
One for me. It's also the Santa Clara 49ers. Nobody is beating this team if they stay healthy and they're on a run like this. Maybe somebody in the playoffs finds a way to pick them off just because, I don't know. Maybe they have a tight end blocking a really good edge like Micah Parsons and he blows Brock Purdy's arm off. I don't know. Maybe that's the way they lose. But if they don't do stupid things like that and they stay healthy, no one's beating this team. 49ers at one.
If this were baseball, they would lose in the divisional round to a wild card team like the Vikings. That's how baseball works.
Have you seen, I saw a couple tweets this week. It's like for the next 10 straight years, the Dodgers won 115 games. And then in the NLDS, here come the Phillies.
The
89 win Phillies.
Absolutely. We do that to the Braves every year. It sucked because when they did it to us, they used our own move against us. The 84 win Diamondbacks just came in and stuck right by us.
Bastards. Damn it.
That Wolf of Wall Street Shohei Ohtani video is the absolute masterpiece. It is my favorite video I've ever seen on social media. I thought the voiceover was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
I mean, that's Leonardo DiCaprio.
It was Leonardo DiCaprio. And the sequencing of it was perfect. It was the exact logic from the movie, but just used for Shohei's contract. It was that was a masterpiece. Perfect.
Oh, God. Was all this legal? Absolutely fucking not.
Absolutely fucking not. The MLB sent two agents down.
I bugged the room. I put the air conditioning so cold it felt like fucking Antarctica in there. Oh, God. It's so good. So good. You know what else is so good? Football. But there's not much left.
I'm sad about it. I'm very sad about it. Follow us while you can. Mm-hmm. Anywhere you can find podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Google, anywhere like that. Subscribe on YouTube. We saw a huge spike in our YouTube numbers this year. We just got the review in, and that was fantastic to see. We're always pushing out content there with our YouTube shorts. Our clips always go on Instagram. Our clips always go on TikTok. Mm-hmm. And our Twitter is where we make our memes and our other content, like the Shohei video.
Enjoy the week. There's only a couple left. But once the game stops, the draft talk starts. So we are here all year round. So make sure you subscribe, follow, go Cowboys, go Sea Chickens. We need this division to come down to the last week of the season. And hey, old Tommy Cullis takes the game down. Huh? Enjoy, everybody. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening.
Chris Hansen here, and I'm going to need you all to take a seat right over there and check out Birds versus Boys.
I think you're completely right here, and I hate it.
Yep. Idiots, stop doing dumb things.
I got two phones.
Upside alert, upside alert.
I might go insane.
I think you're already there.
There's no hope. Hope is gone.
If this was an AFC North podcast, we'd be done in 15 minutes.
Bob Hope.
I'm going to drink bleach.
Be the team you promised me you were going to be this year.
This is the Consciously Hopeful Podcast.
I'll be watching.